Victor Espinoza and Bob Baffert get yet another chance at a triple crown in 3 weeks at Belmont Park.
Any idea what any of that means?
Nah. Here's the deal. I can care less about that. Mad Max was a great movie. Unbelievable movie. Oh, wait. We should go back to the horse racing.
Must have been a crappy movie, though, because it only made $40 million this weekend, whereas Pitch Perfect, you know what that's about? Anna Kendrick singing
that's
songs.
That's a big timer.
$140 million.
For the kids. Yeah, for the little girls. They love that stuff. My gals, my two daughters have already seen it twice. They love it.
Why?
It's like, I don't know where it even came from.
Why do people go to movies multiple times? Like, go to a movie once, unless it's like an epic blockbuster type thing, but wait for it to come out on Blu-ray or rent it on Netflix or... I mean, you have TVs now where you can literally... Sure. DirecTV, and I can just go...
Yeah.
Watch it at my house.
Sure.
I don't need to pay $20 twice to go see a movie.
No, you don't need to, but man, I'm going to see Mad Max again.
Are you going to see Mad Max again? It was that good.
Son of a bitch.
I heard it was really good.
Oh, it's good.
Really intense.
See, people don't know anything about Mad Max. They don't understand Thunderdome. They don't understand two men enter, one man leave.
Well, I get that part, but I don't get the other parts.
They don't get. I am Master, he is Blaster, together we are Master Blaster. They don't get that. They have what I do.
So your wife, who had never seen a Mad Max movie before, and I know that you'd watched, you made her go back and watch her. She wanted to watch it to know what it was all about.
She told me she would watch the first one with me, and she was good enough to sit down and watch Mad Max, The Road Warrior, with Mel Gibson. And, she just lasted it. She lasted through it. Didn't really care that much about it. And when you look back at it, it was funny. It was funny good. It wasn't like, oh, wow, that's a great movie. It's so horrible and so it's out there.
When you say
it's crazy,
funny good,
it was so
terrible?
Cheesy,
okay.
and like a B-rated movie,
sure.
And it was futuristic. And
how's this new one? Because I heard it's pretty impressive.
This one's badass. And Tom Hardy, Charlize Theron. I mean, they're both very good. It went to an A movie. Overnight.
What is it still on Rotten Tomatoes? Because as of the beginning
99%,
of the weekend, it was 99, yeah.
And that's big.
That's huge.
Rotten Tomatoes does not do that for those kinds of movies. I mean, Marvel Comics has a tough time getting into the 90s with Rotten Tomatoes for the critic.
Mad Max is a Marvel comic?
No, it's not.
Okay.
But I'm saying, those kinds of movies, a typical action movie in Rotten Tomatoes has a tough time pulling an 80.
Movies I love get like 43%.
Yeah. Now, the fanfare might be a higher number. But as far as the critics, you see a movie in the 90s by the critics.
In the 80s.
In the 80s, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really, go see it away.
Yeah,
but Mad Max was 99. I think in both categories, the critics and the people who had seen it earlier.
I think I'd rather go see I Am Big Bird.
Well, that'd be a good movie, I'm sure. I'm sure it would be.
But it's
Tell me how good it is.
On a day like today, obviously I'd go to a movie, but it's getting warmer and we have days that are, we have very few days that are above 40 degrees as it is here in Minnesota. Anytime it's sunny and this weekend is warm. I think you went on, it was Friday night.
Friday night.
It was a nice warm night.
It was the opener.
And we had
a good time and she loved it. Carrie loved the movie, walked out as beaming about it. We went across the street, went to Red Robin,
and yum.
Yeah, it was good. We had some burgers over there, talked about the movie, couldn't stop talking about the movie, just she and I.
Really?
Yeah, it was that good. You go out, that's the kind of movie right there. Bucket of popcorn, sit there, 3D, I got it in 3D, so we got the glasses on, the whole nine yards. It was good. You got to go see it.
Nope.
All right.
I only go see, major movies for some
this
reason.
This is. It's just that people don't know anything about Mad Max. They don't know it.
$40 million.
I don't care about the money.
$40 million.
I don't care about the money part of it. Little kids don't. I mean, kids, teenage girls don't want to see Mad Max. There are a lot of people that thought that after they saw the first two movies, Road Warrior and Thunderdome, they're like, are you kidding me? I'm not going to go see a movie. I'm not going to go pay to see Mad Max. It was terrible the first time, 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Mad Max, $44.4 million.
Well, I mean, but the money's not an indication of the movie. Look at Rotten Tomatoes. Look at the reviews. That's all you have to go by. You don't go by the money. Idiots. See, idiots pay to see these movies.
And we're going to then go back to the fact of why we hate everybody.
I know. but I've got a problem with that.
But seriously, American Pharoah, it seemed, is it just me or does it seem like almost every single year a horse will win the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, and they're like, oh, my God, Triple Crown yet again. Here we come.
I haven't seen too many since California Chrome, and I can't remember the one before California Chrome. It was probably in the early 2000s. The one that broke its leg, right?
Is that the one that they had to shoot on the track? God, that was
not
awesome.
On the track.
I love it when they have to shoot on the track.
Yeah, I guess there is something fun about that.
It's
what was that?
They bring a
name?
Trailer.
They tried to save this one though.
Yeah.
Remember they tried to.
Yeah, because they wanted its seed.
Uh huh.
They wanted it to be able to mount and impregnate and do all these
things.
That's
right.
But once a horse breaks a leg, you gotta, you know.
That's it. Done deal. Send it down to Elmer's. The glue.
Or, there's gotta be a company or a country someplace that eats horse. I mean, just, can't you.
I think so.
Cut probably. It up into quarters or something and then sell it to needy countries that need food? I mean, some countries eat like cats.
Quarter their horse.
Quarter horse.
Kind of quarter horse.
Yeah.
There are some that eat cat. And I'm one of them.
And dog. Well,
and
I know
that,
you mean, yeah.
That as well. I can't imagine people eating too much horse meat.
There are some countries that eat goldfish. Is horse meat not good to eat?
Did that at my niece's wedding.
Horse meat.
No, goldfish. For sale. I ate a goldfish at my niece's wedding. I ate it alive, just like Steve-O from Jackass. They dared me. Down it went.
Congress has greenlit horse slaughterhouses. Horse meat will be on shelves across America within 2 weeks. Horses can now be legally butchered. This is back in November of 2011.
I'm going to have to pick up some Shetland pony tonight. I'm going to have to pick up some Shetland.
Put it on the green egg and smoke it. Where can I buy horse meat? I'm really hankering for a good old horse meat sandwich.
Anything. I mean, buffalo. I mean, you got bison burgers. You got tons of different things you can buy. If you really want something exotic, I mean, why is a horse different? I don't know.
I
mean,
either.
Back home where I'm from, they had a father and son game feed every year. Anything that anyone shot, or you know, whether it was pheasant or quail, which is one of the best hunting areas probably in the United States for white-tailed deer and pheasant and quail and all that stuff. But I mean, squirrel, rabbit, anything you shot or caught fishing. They put it on
this
the
table. This is in Iowa?
They put it on the table down in Iowa. And some guys would go to Canada and, you know, get a bear, like a black bear, and they would cook it. They would make it.
I don't like that. It just doesn't do anything for me. I like cows, pigs, well, chickens, and turkeys.
Of course.
And I think that might be about it.
You don't like fish?
No.
You don't like fish?
I like seafood. I don't like fish. Scallops, shrimp, lobster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All the good stuff.
Mm-mm. Oysters? Love them.
It tastes like
you can't. Yeah. Wow, you haven't had sea bass.
I've had sea bass. I did have sea bass.
Ooh, see, that's pretty.
I had
good.
Sea bass one time down in Florida.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah,
it's. I think most fishy type stuff is in my head. Does it taste okay? It's not that it like I think it. It's just the texture and seeing the fish before it's cooked and stuff. It's just slimy and disgusting. So another thing.
You're slimy.
Well, that's true. Another thing I wanted to complain about was this.
And now the former presidential candidate will try and beat up the body.
Oh! Down goes Holyfield!
That was a slip.
Holyfield not happy about this at all. He gets the standing eight count. And now Holyfield rushing over to Romney. Rushing over to another white glove has been thrown in. The towel is in. The white towel has been thrown in. This fight is over, folks. Good blood.
Romney, former presidential candidate Mitt Romney, in the ring against Evander Holyfield, and he knocks him down. Didn't even hit him. Didn't even hit Evander Holyfield. Swung, missed him, and Evander Holyfield took a nosedive. They raised $1 million, and that was all fantastic.
Are you saying it was fixed?
Well, you're the boxing fan. You're the guy that rented the Manny Pacquiao of Evander Holyfield or Mike Tyson or whoever he fought one time.
Isn't that what you do when you have a professional boxer in with a jicky jack? I mean, you're trying to raise money?
That's so stupid.
Just make it look good and go down.
It's not even looking good. Well, I mean, when it comes to WWE, we all know that that's not as real as it can possibly get.
Wait.
No,
what?
Just pretend.
Are you saying that that's not
but
real?
But this was ridiculous.
Well, I don't get it.
A former heavyweight champion taking on this scrawny politician.
What were they trying to do?
Why were they even doing it?
Because it was just something fun to do. Because, of course, you're not going to have those two fight. How could you have Holyfield in with that idiot? Oh, this will be good. I'd pay to see that.
It was so stupid. I was wondering at the weigh-in and this and that. It was all over SportsCenter, and these two are going to fight this weekend. Well, why are people buying into it? I get that it's for charity. They raised $1 million for seeing impaired people. But so dumb. And then the replay was all over SportsCenter, and I thought maybe there was going to be some sort of hitting, but nothing whatsoever.
I had a chance to do that.
It was like the Manny Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather fight is really what it was. There was no action whatsoever.
There was a little action in that fight.
It was a little bit.
Damn it. It cost me $99. And a lot of hamburger. And hot dogs.
Not a hamburger. I didn't eat a hamburger.
There were hamburgers out there. Now, here's the deal. I had a chance to do that as well. You remember Scott Ledoux, the boxer from here?
Oh, yeah.
A very, very famous guy, actually, from these parts. I think he passed away maybe, I don't know, it's probably been 6-7 years ago, I'm guessing. But he asked me they were putting a promotional thing together to raise money, and some celebrities were supposed to go in and box with, was it Jerry Cooney? Was it Cooney or Corey? I mean, I had a chance to do it, but then it kind of got, something happened and the whole thing went away. But I was actually going to go in and do that. And he was a contending heavyweight.
Wow.
I mean, he had some big fights. I think with Larry Holmes, I think it was Cooney, Jerry Cooney or something like that. Huh. I'll look it up. But it was I had a chance to do that. It just reminded me of that. And I've taken a lot of hits. And I can barely remember the guy's name. It's because I've been hit a lot. Around the head and neck region.
That's all right. I'm about to hit you real quick here.
Why don't you just settle down over there?
Heck of a show planned today, though. Tyus Jones, the NBA draft is not for about a month or so, but the NBA draft lottery is tomorrow night. So Tyus Jones was at the Combine last week. Flip Saunders talked to him on Friday, had a meeting with the Minnesota Timberwolves. He also met with a bunch of other teams. I got in some Twitter beef on Friday night where some guy was after me saying, why would the Timberwolves draft Tyus Jones? They just got Kevin Garnett and they don't need another person at his position. That was the first tweet. And so that got me all riled up. I was fired up about what had happened earlier in the day.
What's wrong with people?
And I'm like, they play two different positions. Right now, we don't have a backup point guard. And I'm so sick and tired of Zach LaVine, who made the All-NBA second team rookie team today, by the way. But he's so much better when he's not handling the ball. Just give him the ball. He can go dunk. He can shoot. He can play defense. He can do all these other things.
I think he'll turn out. I think he'll be a decent player someday.
Me too, but he needs to not be the go-to backup point guard, whereas Tyus Jones would be a great situation to back up Ricky Rubio.
Yeah, you would think so.
If Ricky Rubio goes into this next season as healthy as everybody's hoping he's going to, that's why they shut him down at the end of the season, should be all healthy going into next season, wouldn't it be great? Ricky Rubio, Tyus Jones, Kevin Martin, Zach LaVine, Shabazz Muhammad.
Look, I would buy into that. So, I'd buy some tickets to go see Tyus.
Yes. I mean, and we'll talk about this coming up next, but look what Lindsey Whalen did. Look what Kevin Garnett did, just to put butts in the seats, and that's what the Timberwolves need.
Agreed.
Coming up, 4.5 questions as well at 4:30. The Patriots, in all their trouble, responding to Wells, the Deflategate and the Wells situation, are pointing fingers at the Minnesota Vikings, saying the Minnesota Vikings got in trouble for deflating footballs. And they named other teams the Carolina Panthers, the Indianapolis Colts. I want to say maybe the Jacksonville Jaguars. But the Minnesota Vikings in trouble with the NFL for deflating footballs a couple years ago?
A couple years ago. Oh, wow.
Or was it last year? I think it might have been last year.
Last year. Wow. Okay.
But anyway, we'll talk about that coming up at 4:45. Jerry Zagota from the Star Tribune. I've been texting him. Jerry, we miss you. We need you back on the radio. It's a big day tomorrow for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
He doesn't care, though.
Kevin Garnett's birthday tomorrow, so hopefully that brings the Timberwolves some luck in the draft lottery. We'll talk to him. Of course, Jim Rich at 5:15, like always. Hardball, Mike Berardino. The Twins took 2 out of 3 from the Tampa Bay Rays again.
Yep.
It's fantastic. We'll talk to him about
ball.
The Miami Marlins fired former Twin Mike Redman.
Well, pretty good little catcher. He was a decent catcher, and he used to run around the locker room a lot without clothes on.
Yeah, that was weird.
Run around naked.
That was weird. We'll talk to Brandon Warren from Cold Omaha, 105theticket.com.
Our
Aaron
guy.
Hicks, Aaron Hicks doing well. New swing.
You're the Aaron Hicks
dividends.
Of radio. You got a little leg stomp going.
No, you're the Aaron Hicks of radio. I'm the Christian Ponder of radio. You always forget that.
Oh.
And you're lucky because Aaron Hicks is turning things around.
I know. He's got a leg kick going.
Timberwolves. We'll just talk about the Timberwolves lottery update. We'll give her give the wheel a spin 10 more times, see where the Minnesota Timberwolves fall. I believe it was Friday where the Philadelphia 76ers got the first overall pick like... five times overall.
I think they did overall.
Just ridiculous.
The first three times we rolled it, Philadelphia nailed it. For number one, three times row. I'm pretty sure that happened.
They've had the number one overall pick here for... I mean, obviously last year it was the Cleveland... Cleveland Cavaliers, but before that, I'd want to say they got it 2 years in a row.
They're trying to build Philadelphia back up. They want the NBA wants that to work that way.
Stupid.
In the back room, they fix it.
Mike Redmond, obviously being fired by the Miami Marlins, has me pose this question. We'll take calls about it at 6:34. Which professional sports team is the kiss of death? Because the new manager, Dan Jennings, for the Miami Marlins, his mom said, "Are you nuts? Why are you taking that job? Are you out of your mind?"
Yeah.
He said it in his press conference today. Which professional sports team would you, because obviously in the NFL we think of the Oakland Raiders, Cleveland Browns. Yeah. So we'll talk about all that. And
I think Jacksonville might have a little chance on that one, too.
A couple of Mike's breaks coming up. Sillier Side of Sports. We'll wrap things up. True Superstar, all that good stuff.
Wow, look out, everybody. Jerry's going to go to Jay-Z. Look out. He's next. Radioactive Sports.
Tyus. How did you do that? Down the stretch, this big a stage, how did you handle it like that?
My teammates and the coaching staff, they've given me confidence, and they believed in me and trusted in me all year. And there's never been a moment where, they doubt me. And it was just, they trusted me, to make a play. And that's the biggest thing, about this team is we never want to let, one another down.
That's right.
Tell him, Tyus.
After winning the Most Outstanding Player Award, the NCAA Championship, our guy Tyus Jones. So my question for you is, after getting in a little bit of a beef, because we talked about it just a tad on Friday at the Office Pub and Grill on Washington and 3rd, our guy Tyus Jones from Apple Valley in the NCAA's Most Outstanding Player of the Year Award when Duke beat Wisconsin is at the NBA Combine, was there last week in Chicago. He'd been talking to several teams he was scheduled to talk to and did talk to Flip and the Wolves on Friday. Now, the Wolves have a couple of second-round picks, and they did the last thing that the Minnesota Timberwolves need to do is add more young players, don't you think? Like a plethora of young players.
Well, yeah, they've had a plethora for a while, but now
if
they've
got... If they add a or two key rookie-type guys... I think that's fine, but when you have like second round draft picks that barely ever play in the league or take a couple of years to play in the league, right now the Timberwolves don't need that.
They've gone through that growing stage already. That happened last season. And I think we had a team out there at one time after all the injuries that I want to say the oldest guy was 20. There were like a pair of them that were at 20 or maybe two or three guys at 20, 21-ish, and there was a 19 out there, obviously. And that's amazing.
So don't you think, though, with the Timberwolves situation and 651-989-9105, because I'm sure there are going to be people that disagree, but don't you think it's imperative that the Timberwolves do all that they can to trade those 2 second-round draft picks, and if they need to move like a Peck or some other player that they have on the roster, because nobody really on the roster that they have right now can't be moved, except Andrew Wiggins, I would think.
Moved? Andrew Wiggins?
I would say he's the only one that's untouchable right now.
Oh, yeah, he's invincible. Yeah, he's above it all.
I think the Minnesota Timberwolves, for the right player, would trade, would move Ricky Rubio.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Peck.
Definitely.
Kevin Martin.
It's a shame what would happen to Peck, but yeah, I agree.
Nobody's going to want KG. I would say Andrew Wiggins and Kevin Garnett are really the only untouchable pieces right now.
Right.
So the Timberwolves need to do whatever it takes to get up to trade for Tyus Jones, because... they can use whatever they absolutely possibly need to put butts in the seats. Look what happened when KG came back.
I was there that night with you.
And the fan base responded and sold out Target Center. That's what the Timberwolves need. Every team needs to be able to fill out their arenas.
I agree.
And whether they win or not, it's building towards something special. And I believe Tyus Jones would help with that excitement. Andrew Wiggins, Tyus Jones, Kevin Garnett, and whoever the Minnesota Timberwolves get, whether they draft 1 through 4, please, dear God, let it be either 1 or 2. But Lindsey Whalen did the same thing for the Lynx.
McCarville? when she was here.
McCarville, yeah, I get McCarville, but she but and Lindsay Whalen
playing
really
together,
did
together.
It.
That was kind of cool seeing those two reunite from the University of Minnesota back here with the Lynx, and that was kind of cool.
As much as I respect Janelle McCarville, what she did for the Gophers and the role she played with the Minnesota Lynx, there's no comparing Janelle McCarville to Lindsay Whalen.
No.
And then with Zach Parise for the Wild. I mean, so
that's what did it. I mean, a lot of the guys here with the Wild are obviously from here or from the University of Minnesota. There's quite a common denominator with all that with the Wild, but Parise was the name, and I don't think we would have had any trouble filling the place out, but nonetheless, now that he's here, it's never going to be a question.
I think Joe Mauer for the Minnesota Twins right away when he came up and then won the MVP award, and then he signed that big contract and kind of slowly faded away. But the Twins have always done it, bringing back Dave Winfield, bringing back Paul Molitor, Terry Steinbach, former people that were, you know, part of the teams. And it gets the fan base excited.
I agree.
So you agree with me that the Minnesota Timberwolves should do whatever it possibly takes to get Tyus Jones, because he's not going to be a top five, top 10, probably not going to be a top 15 draft pick. So if the Timberwolves can move number 31, which is the first pick in the second round, I believe they have 36, which is the fifth pick in the second round, to move up to the 20s, late teens area, and add a player, if that's what it takes, to go up and get Tyus Jones. Don't you think it's imperative they do that?
I would love it. I would love that. Now, I'll tell you another reason why. He's just that good. He's just that nifty. He's slick. He's a slick player. I know that he's from here. That makes it even better yet. But I would just take Tyus Jones because the kid's a winner. I mean, he just is in control out there. When the game is bigger, he says, come on, let's do this. And he puts it all on his own shoulders and just walks right through the entire tournament. And just the most cool, calm, collected sort of guy when it came to pressure. I was really impressed with the kid. I mean, the first year, true freshman out of Apple Valley, Minnesota, the kid is a winner. He just has that it factor. I mean, the heck with Apple Valley, that's a great, feather in our cap if we can land him. But I'd take him just because. Like, Rubio's always hurt. I wouldn't have any trouble putting a guy like Tyus Jones in there.
No, and I would have no problem with basically a sophomore in college taking over. Please, dear God, Ricky Rubio, stay healthy for a full season so we can see what the Minnesota Timberwolves can really do. But I'd have no problem as the team continues to grow to have him out there halfway through the season being the starting guy if that's what it absolutely has to be. But
he can drive the keys. He can have the keys to the car as far as I'm concerned. Tyus Jones, the kind of leadership that he showed on that team, on that Duke team, coming all the way down through the tournament and then the championship game that night against Kentucky. Not Kentucky, but
Wisconsin?
Wisconsin. I thought that was incredible what he did.
He gets to the basket. He shoots threes that he can make. He draws fouls like a madman. He's got a pretty good shot selection.
The kid can knock it
down. His basketball IQ is out of this world.
Just sharp as a tack.
He's teeny. He's very teeny.
He is. I can't believe how small he is, but he plays big. He plays big, but he slashes and he takes bumps. They rough him up quite a bit, but
I would say that he sacrificed a lot going to Duke because he had to be the second fiddle. If he would have been on another team and been the premier guy like we saw in that Wisconsin championship game when Jahlil Okafor was in foul trouble, when Jahlil Okafor wasn't in the picture, guess who took over? Tyus Jones.
But yeah, he did.
Jahlil Okafor being the number, the number one kid coming out of high school, was the premier player. And they thought, I know Tyus Jones was a top five recruit, but they thought, let's give it to the big guy down below and we'll just have him win the games for us, which he did over and over and over again.
And of course, those two had it planned all that time themselves. I mean, they wanted to go to school there together and they weren't going to go anywhere unless they both agreed on the same place. I mean, that was the game plan. They were best of friends. Okafor out of Chicago and Tyus had been playing in the AAU stuff all summer for like the last 4 years, all over the country. And they said, let's go to school together. Okay. So it was down to Baylor and I think Kansas. There was another school, but definitely Duke and they chose Duke together. And Tyus, I'm sure, had that conversation with him. I'll feed the rock to you. And, when you're not on, feed it back to me and I'll knock down the three. It worked out. It worked 1 year and look where they're at. It worked.
He's 6 foot two.
Yeah, he's, I mean,
just a baby.
He sat with me over at, and I tell the story all the time, but I just feel so privileged now to have known this kid for a while. But we went over there, and I think it was at Old Chicago in Apple Valley, and Bob and I went over and did the show over there live, as we did for about 13 weeks at all the Old Chicagos. But Tyus joined me and Bob, and his mother was there. I've known his brother, who runs another basketball organization called Top Flight here in town. And they're a good group. And they have a nice thing going on right now. But the kid was amazing. I would look at him. He was sitting between Bob and I at a big table, and we'd order him some food and grab him a drink and talk with him for an hour or so. But he was just, I looked at him and I said, God, I mean, this kid's going to Duke. He's going to be with Coach K, and he's not very big, but he's considered like the one or two player in the country.
It's all up here.
He's sharp. He's smart. Yeah.
It's all up here. The thing that's going to knock Tyus Jones, love him to death, and so proud of. I mean, the only knock that I personally have about Tyus Jones is he didn't go to the Gophers. But I told him that several times. He always got a kick out of that. But never really showed great speed or explosiveness with the ball at Duke, which might mean he might not be able to play defense that well here in the NBA. But what would you rather? Would you rather have somebody with all the tools but not the great smarts, or would you rather have somebody that doesn't necessarily have all the tools but his IQ is off the charts, so he can be a team leader and he can get things done? Almost like, if I'm going off the board here, to let me know, but I don't think Chris Carter was the fastest. He wasn't the biggest. He wasn't everything, but it seemed like he worked super hard and he was very smart. And he got it done. He was the second best wide receiver of all time until all these other young kids came up.
Agreed. I mean, he had a great football IQ, had the best hands I think I'd ever seen. Still, maybe that way. I don't know if I've ever seen anyone catch for catch all the way through a career catch the way he did. He was a bigger guy, though. He's a pretty good sized receiver, yeah. At least for the day.
Sure.
Jake was bigger. Jake Reed was. But and in today's game, neither one would hold up for the size of the receivers now. But you're right. To answer your question, I would take the smarter kid with the it factor and the guy that can light the place up with his knowledge and finding the open man, and when he has to, he knocks down the tough shot, which Tyus does do. I love kids who operate solid under pressure. Who doesn't? I mean, a kid that'll put it on his back and say, geez, I mean, the bigger the moment, the better they are. He's his best when he needs to be his best. That's what he was through the entire tournament. I think he had quick feet. I think I like the way he shuffles and moves on defense, too. I mean, he didn't get out of position on defense either that entire championship game. I don't know about
college. College go.
Well, granted. But I mean, that's all I have to go on.
Sure, and most of those players from Wisconsin, besides Kaminsky and maybe Decker, aren't going to the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of players from Wisconsin a lot of college players, period, don't go to the NBA. I would take, if the Minnesota Timberwolves trade 31, and I believe they have 35 or 36 in the second round, the draft picks, so basically number one and number five or six in the second round, they traded up into the first round, and there were two point guards there, or there were two players there. One had a little bit more skill, one had a little bit more upside, one had a little bit more maybe immediate help to help the team, and there was Tyus Jones. I would still take Tyus Jones because of the fact that he betters his franchise, and he just creates fan excitement. And I know that he can play.
Oh.
And so it's not the fact that he may not be the absolute best player to take at that net, number 21 or 22 or wherever the Minnesota Timberwolves can get up there and trade to get in that first round again. But I would take him for putting butts in the seats, for marketability, for team leadership, for high basketball IQ. A lot of the same reasons why I wanted the Timberwolves to get Kevin Garnett, which they did do.
They did, yeah. I think it's unbelievable what that kid was able to do. Especially after sitting with him for most of his senior year and talking with him maybe four or five times on the show and seeing him once or twice in person, I just thought that that kid, he just tore the college ranks up and got on the front of Sports Illustrated as the outstanding player of the tournament, and they won the whole thing. He was on the front covers of SI.
And nationwide, I don't think he was obviously very, not even well known. I don't think he was known very much at all, being such a high recruit. But Duke was all about Jahlil Okafor. And then I would say it might even be about Justice Winslow.
I agree.
Over Tyus Jones.
But Tyus Jones
is the best player, in my opinion, when you give him the ball to be a leader, to play defense, and in crunch time.
Oh, yeah.
There's no other player that I would trust more on that Duke team than Tyus Jones.
those shots that he made in that championship game.
With all over him, in his face.
Just a hand in his face and from three and just drilling it. Cool guy, man. I wish him well, and I hope he ends up here with the T-Wolves. That would be so much fun, man. Trade the whole house, whatever you got to do to get him. I'm with you. Four and a half questions, though, are next at 4:30. What is the half question going to be? Who knows? Radioactive Sports next. I slipped for a second there. I mean, I don't know where that wet spot came from. It could have been from the time I squeezed the piss out of Tom Schreier, that sissy pants in here. Yeah, coo whip. I fell on it. Regardless, I slipped in that pee right there. And so I made it to my seat, and I'm all set and ready to go with four and a half questions, and I'm all excited.
Wicked.
Can you tell?
Yeah. No. Question number one, four and a half questions. Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer, you're the end-all, be-all when it comes to the Minnesota Vikings, and especially this topic. Mike Zimmer says right guard Brandon Fusco could start on the left side between John Sullivan and Matt Khalil this year, while considering fourth-round draft pick, the guy we absolutely love, TJ Clemmings, to be the starter to replace Fusco on the right side, the right guard spot between Sullivan and Phil Lodeholtz. So, to me, it sounds like a slam dunk. You get your best players on the field, but obviously I'm a novice when it comes to offensive line play. So, again, I thought I'd ask a 13-year NFL veteran of somebody who played in the trenches. What do you think of moving Brandon Fusco to the left side and having TJ Clemming start at the right side, both guard positions?
Love it.
Good. So I love it.
I mean, I think that it's hard to do once you've sort of found your way into the league. And now, like Fusco, he was at least embedding himself as sort of that mainstay right guard. And that's his position. And he obviously has a feel for it now. You hate to throw him back over and start him again, coming back off this injury at left guard. Mm-hmm. But whatever it takes to help a TJ out, I'm hoping that, and it looks like he's a natural right tackle, obviously. We have a right tackle, but you want to use this guy when he gets in here.
Of course.
And whatever it takes. I think Fusco's probably diverse enough to be able to go put his hand on the ground.
What about people that say that that's a mistake because oftentimes, and forgive me if I'm wrong for using a different terminology, but they shift to the left side and they shift protection to the left side, leaving the right guard and right tackle on one-on-one situations. And so a lot of people say that the right guard position for guards is the most important guard position because they're one-on-one and they're almost left on an island when they shift protection to the left.
Well, but they'll shift as many times to the right as they do the left. I mean, what you really have to, it's distributed evenly. I mean, up front between the three, the guard and the two centers. The tackles are on an island, for sure. But the right tackle has the advantage of at least having the quarterback in clear view of what he's doing.
Okay.
The guy you have to be able to trust and has to be your best blocker is the left tackle if your quarterback is a right-handed passer because that's his backside. And guess what? If you let something come free off the backside and it hits that franchise guy in the back and you get him hurt, that's not good. That's not a good thing. And so I'm hoping that they can shore up that left side with a big guy like TJ Clemmings. Along with Khalil, and he comes back. He has the knees done. We've been told he had the knees scoped, and Zimmer feels like he's going to be able to bounce back. But Fusco obviously feels comfortable already. We kind of know that. We have to hope that Lodeholt comes back and is feeling okay because he tore a pec, I believe, last year, and that's not easy either. If you're an offensive lineman coming back from a torn pec.
Well,
I'm not so sure Fusco didn't.
They both tore pecs. And then, I would say, it was last week, Brian Robinson hurt his pec while working out at Winter Park. Don't know how serious the damage Brian Robinson had either.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I've been told that he'd be okay.
Why are they tearing pecs over there? Are they doing something wrong, or is it just like luck of the draw type of deal?
I know Marcus over there. He's a great strength coach. I don't know. He's doing things right, but things happen. Things do happen. And you'll see that happen more times than not. I mean, but three-on-one team is a little unusual, I guess.
within purely coincidental, six months.
Yeah, a little bit strange there, but I think that what he does over there is pretty rock solid. I know him. He's a good strength coach.
Number two. Today, Andrew Wiggins, Zach LaVine. In fact, it was earlier this afternoon. They were named to the all-rookie NBA team. Andrew, the first team. Zach, the second team. The teams were named by a voting panel of 130 sports writers and broadcasters throughout these United States of America and Canada. Each voter was asked to select five players for the first team, five for the second team, 2 points awarded for the first team votes, and one for the second team votes. That's how they can make this list. Wiggins joins Pooh Richardson, Christian Laettner, Isaiah Ryder, Stephon Marbury, Wally Szczerbiak, Randy Foy, and Ricky Rubio as Wolves players to earn first-team all-rookie honors. Obviously, most of those players didn't pan out. And you don't know where the Minnesota Timberwolves are even going to draft in their first-round pick as of yet, what they're going to do with their second-round picks. But just looking into your crystal ball, be the psychic that I know you are, the powers that I know you are, bring in a seance or rub your balls or whatever you have to do.
I rub my balls normally.
How many Wolves rookies will be on that list next year?
I mean, you have to hope for the best on this one, and we are just hoping tomorrow for the best on this. If we get Cat, we got one. If we get Tyus Jones, we got two.
I'll go
with two.
Two.
If we get those two guys, I mean, I'm just playing out the scenarios. If we get number two guy.
Yeah, the Timberwolves can draft 1 through 4. That's how they're going to land in the lottery. Mm-hmm. You and I have done the lottery picking. We'll do it again coming up again this afternoon around 6:15. And the Timberwolves, it seems like they either draft number one or number four. Sometimes number three, rarely number two. Just by the way, the odds. The Timberwolves have a 25% chance of getting the number one overall pick. They have a 35% chance of getting the fourth overall pick with lesser percentages, obviously, for two and three. However, I think any of those four players that they would draft in the top four would probably be on the all-rookie team, you would think.
Correct. So you probably get one.
Unless they fall to number four and do some sort of trading around and getting a veteran. Because at number four, it's like, do they really need another shooting guard? They have Shabazz Muhammad who can play there. Zach LaVine was just named to the all-rookie second team. He's a natural shooting guard. Kevin Martin you still have there. Andrew Wiggins can still play the shooting guard position. Yep. What you really need is a big guy. Because Peck can't stay healthy and Gorky Jang can't, you know, be a 35, 40 minute guy. Neither can Kevin Garnett. We have Adrian Payne.
Payne's kind of a intriguing player for me anyway. I don't know.
Anthony Bennett seems to be crapshoot. I mean, I hate him almost as much as I hated Corey Brewer and Randy Foy.
You have to hope. I would think that they would get one out of those four. And that guy would probably, with all things being what they are supposed to be on paper. I guess those are the top four guys, right, in the country. Yeah. I mean, you would think that those would be all rookies, each of those four guys.
But I also think that you're forgetting the guy that we talked about last year or last week, and I can't pronounce his name. We'll talk to Jerry Zagota coming up shortly
before five.
He won the European League MVP. He's a stretch forward. He can shoot the three.
He's from what country?
From one of those countries over there in Europe. Across the pond, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
So like a... Yeah, sure. Like a guy from Europe.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll run with that.
Yeah. He's the European guy.
He's got like a Slavic name.
Bajinga, Benajinga.
No, that's the Polish guy.
No, that's Babatunde Babagaduszki. All these different names. My God.
He can line up and play left guard.
Can't they be like Tom, Dick, or Harry? For God's sakes. Question number three. The Twins sent Kenny Vargas down to the minors yesterday. They hope he can find a swing. It's my guy. Sad. I'm going to miss him. Are you surprised they haven't done the same thing with Danny Santana? I mean, both of them are boom or bust guys. I mean, like Oswaldo Arcia, they're either hitting like crazy, creating offense, or they're striking out. A lot of strikeouts with those young guys.
Aaron Hicks
did the same thing.
I say send them down for a little while. I come back with a little leg kick and just rejoin the team. It seems to be working off, and we'll talk about this later with, I think it was Brandon Warren in Cold Omaha. He wrote an article on Aaron Hicks, who is back up from the minors. And he's got a leg kick, and he's passed it through Terry Ryan. He's passed it through Paul Molitor. He's passed it, and Torrey Hunter's helped him tweak it a little bit. We'll go into this more, but I guess it's really working and paying dividends for him. So whatever it takes. Mm. I mean, whatever it takes. And, I mean, we know how much trouble Aaron has had at the plate.
Yeah.
We talked with his brother Joseph for a while too, and it's just been the problem. But he said, you know what? His brother said he's bringing the bat this year.
Yeah. The guy from the Wolves' name is Jumanji Robin Williams.
Oh, I got the game.
No, Jumanji. No, it's
I got the game. Jumanji.
Nemanja.
Oh.
Beleka. Nemanja Beleka.
Beleka. We got him on this team then.
That'd He's Serbian. The Minnesota Timberwolves own his rights.
All right. Well, good.
We'll talk to.
Can you play left guard?
Unfortunately, can't. Question four: the Gopher basketball team finished their recruiting class. They stole a 3-star recruit from VCU who was let out of his commitment because head coach Shaka Smart.
Shaka dumb.
Left to go coach Texas. I don't blame him. With all the hoopla surrounding Patino's 2015 draft class, what are you expecting out of the team next year?
What did they rank his class? I mean, they got pretty good ranking, didn't they?
They were saying projected top 25 draft or recruiting class rank, but I don't think that's officially been out yet. They just wrapped up the draft class this weekend.
So they were speculating.
Yeah.
I think that it's about time. I've been told that he was knocking down some good ones. We talked with our gal. Is it Raina?
Reno.
Yes. She said that they have a couple guys that are like some of the best people that ever walked through here in the last 5 or 6 years that she can remember. And so I'm going to go on that. I'm hoping for the best. And I think Patino is in one of those years.
He's on fire.
He's
finally getting his guys in there.
Number three. No. He's got to start showing some Patino flair here pretty soon. It's got to start paying off in wins, not going backwards. I guess it's a pretty good class. They've talked it up. They being the experts, not me. Yeah. But I've heard that it's all good.
This Jumanji guy, I love him so much. Back to the Timberwolves real quick. He's 6'10". He can play. He's extremely versatile. He obviously primarily plays power forward. He's kind of got a body. I mean, he's a bigger guy though. But he reminds me because he can shoot outside. He can play down low like Kevin Love can. He can play point guard. He's got unbelievable
like
ball
Magic
handling
Johnson.
Skills. Soft shooting touch. Good passer. Great rebounder. Decent finisher around the rim, solid low post defender. And to me, sounds like he's the complete package. Obviously, he hasn't played against NBA teams.
Where do they rank him?
He's 27 years old.
They rank him like number four, right? Three or four?
What do you mean?
In this draft coming?
No, he's not in the draft. He's already owned.
I thought you said he was part of the draft.
He's already owned.
Okay, so
he'll be a rookie.
We have his rights. Okay,
he'll be a rookie if he comes over to the team of the league next year.
But who's the kid coming out from over there? Is it China or is it another European country?
There are several. Their top four draft pick is.
But we talk about him, don't we?
The guy that I don't want.
Yeah,
Crispus Porzingis.
That's the name.
Yeah, number four. So that's likely that the Timberwolves draft.
Okay,
Kristaps Porzingis. Or whatever.
I mean, I'll take the.
Can't you just have
Beleka.
A regular name?
Well, this Beleka is pretty good. That's an easy name.
Nemanja Beleka.
Beleka. And you know what? Point guard, 6'10". Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Let's do that then. What the hell?
Yeah. Let's go.
What do you have next? You got any word association or not?
Sure. What do you think when I say that the New England Patriots are saying, wait a second, we're not the only team that deflates and screws with footballs. The Vikings do it too. What's your response to that?
Is tattletale one word?
Yeah, I think so.
Tattletale. That's it, right there. Radioactive Sports.